Good morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm your host, Teresa Watkins. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is going to be a good weekend. And I say that because we are going to get some rain this weekend. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
Oh, good. Yeah, Sorrento, we're overachievers. We've already gotten some of that rain, so... But don't go away.
No. In fact, it's going to be, I'm going to go over the weather in just a few minutes, but it's going to be a good week for rain, and we desperately need it. It's also going to be a busy week this week because we have two kind of special days coming up. One is the 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. My son Patrick is named after that day. Mm-hmm. And then we're also got the spring equinox, and that is going to be on the 20th, which is next Friday.
All right. So how are we supposed to dress for that?
For the spring equinox?
Yes.
Shorts.
Oh,
shorts,
okay.
Will do good. We do have, I just don't want to traumatize anybody. We do have cold fronts coming through with this rain. There might be some low 40s in the North Panhandle, maybe 39, but no damage. Okay. So we're not going to get any freezes this week. But we are getting the rain because the cold front is coming through, and we have two cold fronts coming through. So we just desperately need the rain. So North Florida, you're going to have a possibility of 40% chance on Sunday with 70% chances on Monday. So a lot of you are getting rain already. Cool temperatures are going to be in the 70s and 60s and even 50s. So, again, no chance of a freeze this weekend, so there's no need to cover anything up. This is going to be good rain, and it's going to be comfortable. Just stay inside and enjoy it and be appreciative. Central Florida, we're going to have some rain today, Sunday and Monday, and even thunderstorms. There is a possibility when we get these cold fronts for hail and for tornadoes. So we want everybody to be alert this weekend.
Yes.
When that cold front hits the warm front of Florida, then always the possibility of tornadoes, but just keep your eyes out. Central Florida, the lows are going to be in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to turn my phone off. My lovely husband texting me. South Florida, you're hitting the jackpot with rain this weekend. Chances for at least 50% of rain every day through Thursday. So they're going to have rain Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And what does that mean? That means, oh, you have to appreciate it. They need the rain so desperately.
Mm-hmm.
But turn the irrigation systems off. We are going to get a couple of inches in parts of the state, which means no need for rainfall. Our landscapes only need about an inch of rain. You've got your rain gauge out there. If you get an inch, you're doing great. So today I'm very excited, Lizzie. I am going to go to one of our favorite places, you and me, a lecture at Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland.
Mm-hmm.
At 11:30. Okay, so I will be talking about coloring your world. Come and introduce yourself. I would love to meet you, and I could even help you select plants for your landscape. I will be there through about 12:30, 1 o'clock. And so just come and see me. I would love to meet you. Also, too, March 28th, 2026, this is important. This is the Florida Wildflower Festival, which is going to take place in DeLand, Florida. Main Street DeLand is putting it on. This is kind of like the fifth or sixth year, maybe even longer than that. It is wonderful. Dana Venrick with Quality Green Specialist is one of the sponsors of the festival. And it is a celebration of Florida's native wildflowers and gardening. It's going to feature vendors, educational presentations, which I'm going to do. Florida Pollinators Gone Wild, and it's going to be a really fun talk. I'm going to look forward to that. But there's going to be activities for the whole family. And so it's just going to be a great one. This is, again, March 28th, and there is also the Outdoor Art Festival going on that weekend, so you can go in between the two festivals in DeLand. But DeLand is such a quaint little city. Lovely shops.
Yes. And last year was literally the first time that I remember ever going. Okay. And let me explain this to you. Okay. Here's what you need. Okay. You need to bring a little wagon with you. Okay.
Yes.
You also need to bring yourself a chair. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Some nice walking shoes that you're able to walk in comfortably. Okay. Because one street, I don't know if they're doing it this year, but one street seemed to be... where all the
vendors are.
Yeah, the vendors for the...
It's completely blocked off. It's all walking.
Yeah. Right. But then the next street over is like the art.
Yes.
Yes. So you get like, you get the best of both worlds. And they have a, a shout out to the candy shop there. There's a candy shop there.
We take our grandchildren there. We get to tell them they can have whatever they want.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, it's awesome. And it's so, make sure you have a little extra pocket change for you to walk out with about $100 worth of candy because you will be very happy.
Mm-hmm. You will find candy from the 50s and 60s.
Yes.
And then, but also all kinds of great chocolate.
Yeah, and stuff that like little kids like too.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, so definitely the three things that I suggest is money. A wagon and a chair.
But they'll be able to take home native plants,
yes,
and native seeds. You'll be able to get native seeds, but also talk to the vendors about creating a wildflower meadow in your yard and how we can help the pollinators. And so there's going to be a lot of presentations and activities. So we want you to come. So the festival is going to be held at 123 West Indiana Avenue in DeLand. And it's going to run from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on March 28th, 2026. And there's going to be a free shuttle, Lizzie, to transport attendees between the Florida Wildflower and Garden Festival and the DeLand Outdoor Art Festival.
And that was the thing that I actually loved the most, is that there was ample parking throughout those city blocks.
Yeah,
I've been to festivals before where I literally was like, I don't even know why I came here, because one, I have to walk 500 miles.
Yes.
There's no parking, blah blah blah, but I found ample parking randomly throughout
DeLand. Yes, it's very easy, and they have a lot of great restaurants. So it's a fun day. I'm going to be bringing our grandchildren.
Oh, and you get to meet Dana Venrick.
Yes,
okay, you can meet Dana. If you've not met,
go to Quality Green Specialist Nursery.
I'm telling you, if you might not met him, let me tell you, you're missing something.
We are going to be taking your phone calls in the next hour, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Thank you for joining us from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I am here to take your phone calls on your gardening questions. Doesn't matter if you think it's a silly question, somebody else out there is wanting to know the answer too. So there is no silly questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680 and tell me what you're having for your morning beverage. I'd like to hear that. So Lizzie, here's some St. Patrick's Day trivia. So how many leaves does a typical clover plant have?
Ooh. Okay, I feel this is tricky because they're shaped like a heart. The one what I would consider one leaf.
Yes.
But that could be considered two. So there's either three or six.
Okay, so the answer is three. You're correct. And so what do the three leaves of a shamrock represent? Mm. So clover is not shamrocks, and shamrocks are not clover. So just to let everybody know that. Okay, so in Irish tradition, the three leaves of a shamrock mean the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then four-leaf clovers are considered what, Lizzie?
Good luck.
Yes.
Oh.
Yay. And so according to legend, what animal did St. Patrick drive out of Ireland?
Ooh, unicorns.
No. No. Why would he drive the unicorns out? That would be so mean. But no, snakes. But the actual truth is, snakes never came to Ireland to begin with. There's no signs of snakes anywhere in Ireland's fossil record. In fact, it's likely for millennium there weren't any snakes in either Ireland or Britain, though Britain eventually gained three species, the grass snake, the adder snake, and the smooth snake. So what happened is during the Ice Age, Ireland and England were too frigid to be suitable habitats for cold-blooded reptiles such as snakes. But then 10,000 years ago, when the glaciers shifted, land emerged connecting Europe, England, and Ireland, allowing for migration. And that's when animals that made it to Ireland included brown bears, lynx, and wild boars. But when the glaciers began melting again, the land between Ireland and England was covered with water over 8,500 years ago. And that stopped the snakes. But Ireland's not the only place in the world without snakes. So there are no native species of snakes to be found in Iceland, Greenland, Hawaii, New Zealand, parts of Canada, northern Russia, and, not surprisingly, Antarctica. So rather, it seems like the snakes, this is kind of a myth, because I see in kind of academia that it's not true. But then Irish tradition states that the snakes were supposed to be an allegory for paganism when St. Patrick banished the pagans and converted them to Christianity. Then they were no longer pagans. So getting back to, what are the three colors of the Irish flag, Lizzie?
Yes, that I'm pretty positive. It's green, white, and orange.
Yay,
yes.
Wonderful. You win points. Ding, ding, ding. According to folklore, Lizzie, what's a leprechaun's occupation?
Oh, collecting gold or cereal?
Making cereal or cookies, even cookies.
Oh, okay, yes.
Baking cookies. No, it is shoemaking. That is their occupation. And so there was a movie which I loved. We went to the movies to see this. What 1959 children's movie helped shape the modern day image of a leprechaun?
I don't know.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
I saw that.
Yes.
I saw that.
And it's Walter Brennan.
Yes.
And it's so good. The Gnome-mobile is another one, but those are gnomes, not leprechauns. Here's the one that I want. The first known St. Patrick's Day took place in what? The first known St. Patrick's Day occurred in Ireland. Is that true or false?
You'd think yes.
Okay, no, it's false. The first recorded parade took place in St. Augustine, Florida.
Shut the front door.
No!
Really?
Isn't that right there? Up
Love
there
that.
Was River and Fort. That's my son's restaurant. Go in and say hi to him.
Yes.
Say mom says to call her. Okay, so so why do we wear green on St. Patrick's Day, Lizzie?
So we don't get pinched?
Yeah. Well, yes, that's a good point.
Okay.
But it's closely associated with Ireland's lush green landscapes and the country's desire to distinguish itself from the British in the 1700s.
Oh, okay.
So that's it. So that's my St. Patrick's Day trivia. I did not know the first St. Patrick's Day parade was in St. Augustine.
Had no clue.
No.
But America. Yeah. Why wouldn't we?
Exactly. And so we just hope everybody has a good and safe holiday this week. It's going to be a great week. With the rain, it'll be naturally. We went to Ireland 2 years ago on our Art and Bloom Garden Tours, and it was just incredible.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list one day is to go to Ireland. So, yes.
Yes, it is. It is.
And you met cousins and stuff that you didn't know you had.
No,
there.
No, I knew cousins.
Oh, okay. You had to meet them then.
Oh, yeah, I grew up with them.
Okay.
And so, I got to go visit my grandfather's house in Ireland, and it's on the side of a hill and a mountain. And, it had only two walls left, and this was from the late 1800s, early 1900s, only two walls left. And the walls were like 15 by about 25, and they were all kind of, you know, it wasn't a full wall. It was only 4 feet, 3 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And they slept in one bed in that home with 13 of them.
Oh.
And then about 10 feet away from the foundation of the wall was this little clean waterfall that came down from 100 feet up that went all the way down the mountainside, which was where they got their water from.
That's why they had such tiny houses. They didn't need to be in the house. They had something gorgeous like that to look at.
It was just incredible. I saw the school he went to, and they walked to school with bare feet. And so then they put their shoes on right before they went into the school. And so it was wonderful. And then, but all the other castles and things we went to and
yes.
Blarney Castle.
And I mean, I know that's not on y'all's tour this time.
Right.
However, you have Art and Bloom.
Art and Bloom Garden Tours. And we're going to France this year.
Mm.
Going to the villas and the chateaus and just beautiful. We're going to Paris. And doing, it's going to be a wonderful trip. If you'd like to know more about my garden tours, you can go to artandbloomgardentours.com and just travel with us. We're going to have a great time. Our Revolutionary Garden Tour is full. Our flower show to Chelsea and the Best of English Gardens is full. But we do have the Newport Flower Show, which is incredible. And we're going to Martha's Vineyard and we're going to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, which is the place, the museum of the most expensive art heist theft in history.
Wow.
They stole $13 million worth of paintings. And there was only like about 7 or 8 paintings.
How do you fit all that in your pocket?
I know. It was just incredible. So there's a great movie on Netflix about it. And so we are going to the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, which is one of my favorites. And then in July, we're going to the Garden Walk Buffalo and Canada, over to the Niagara Falls in Canada. And then August is France. September is the Brandywine Valley, which we're going to all these palatial estates, Chanticleer, Longwood, Winterthur, visiting my good friend in her garden, Northview Garden, Jenny Rose Carey. And we're even going to meet Frank Lloyd Olmsted.
Oh, nice.
And then we, in October, we're going to New Orleans, the Ethereal Gardens of New Orleans, right just in time for Halloween.
Okay, I love that. That sounds very exciting. So, yeah, where do they need to go if they want to find out the cost and get on a waiting list?
Yeah, artandbloomgardentours.com.
Yes.
So thank you so much for letting me say that. So what should you be planting this month? I got just a few seconds here. Vegetables, you should be planting beans and calabaza, all the warm spring and summer vegetables, calabaza, cantaloupe, cassavas, chayotes, corn, cucumbers, dasheen, and eggplant, Jerusalem artichoke and yikama, luffas and malangas, New Zealand spinach, and okra. Okra looks wonderful in your landscape, beautiful yellow flowers. Peppers and pumpkin, go ahead and plant those now so you can have them for your patio and pumpkin pies for Thanksgiving. Southern peas and squash, tamarillos and tomatoes, and watermelon. Those are the vegetables we need to plant. Herbs, you can be planting anise and basil and bay laurel, borage and cardamom, chervil and chives, coriander and costmary, dill and fennel for your butterfly gardens, ginger and lemon balm, sweet marjoram, Mexican tarragon, which you can make delicious béarnaise sauce with, mint in pots. That's always the caveat there. Mint in pots. And that's Lizzie's recommendation. Oregano and rosemary, sage, thyme, and watercress. So you have a lot to plant this morning. We're going to be talking about what to do in your landscape. Get those ornamental grasses cut now, and we should be starting fertilizing. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about fertilizing when I come back because we have some local lakes that are seeing phosphorus pollution and algae blooms. And so I want to tell everybody how we can prevent that. It's up to everybody who lives around a lake. It's a responsibility. So I will be talking about that. If you'd like to know more about me, you can go to my website, www.shehe-consulting.com. You can just even Google Teresa Watkins and SHE, S-H-E. That stands for Sustainable Horticultural Environments.
Ah.
Who designed your landscape? She did.
So I love that.
Tony came up with that.
He's so smart.
He is. He's so smart. And so we're going to have a great day today. I am so excited about the rain. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680.
Now, for the pumpkins that you were saying to plant, that's basically for cooking that you're going to need to plant them this early. They'll still be okay for carving.
Well, for carving, I would say I would put it out just a little bit later, but you can start planting pumpkins now.
Okay.
And they need a 90, depending on the variety, 90 to 120 days.
Oh, my cheese and crackers.
Yeah, so
we're that close.
Yeah, we are.
I'm so excited. That means Christmas is right around the corner.
Eggnog.
Yes, eggnog will be back. I just literally closed out my last one. So.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to be right back with your phone calls. Give me a call. Wake up this morning with me. And if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Thank you. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call. 1-888-455-2967. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. I mentioned that some of the lakes we're starting to see are getting algae and blooms because of these issues with phosphorus. And one of the best things that you can do if you live around a lake is to be very, very careful with your fertilizing. We start to see it go up, the algae blooms happen and go on longer because of the springtime. And that's because everyone fertilizes. And when we're having a rain this weekend, I know there's going to be some of you out there that's going to say, it's going to rain. I've got to get that fertilizer down. Have you heard that before, Lizzie?
Yes.
Have you done that before? It's got to rain. It's going to rain. We got to get the fertilizer down.
Oh, yeah. That's what we've always been taught.
Right. Exactly. You never fertilize before a rainstorm. Okay. Never. That's what causes a stormwater runoff. And if you've ever had an experience where you put down fertilizer and nothing happened in your lawn, then you go, well, what happened? I put the fertilizer down and it didn't do anything. It didn't kill the weeds. It didn't grow. Well, that's because when you put it down before a rainstorm, you lose 75% of the fertilizer to stormwater runoff. It just washes off and goes down the drain and goes into these lakes. It will go down into the shoreline and go into the lakes. So you never fertilize before rainstorm. You always fertilize after the rainstorm, which will help prevent, you know, you burning your plants or your landscape as well. Okay, your ground's going to be saturated. Your plants are going to be hydrated. They can handle the fertilizer. So never fertilize before a rainstorm. You always fertilize after. And if you're using, if you are fertilizing your turf, then you don't need any phosphorus whatsoever. Phosphorus is what creates the push, the encouragement to grow flowers and fruit, and it develops a root system. But turf doesn't need to have the phosphorus because we have enough in our soil already to grow good, healthy roots. It's only with a soil test that says you're lacking phosphorus, which I doubt very highly will come back as, but that you need to apply phosphorus. So you want to do a 1-0-1 ratio on your fertilizer for your turf. 1-0-1 ratio. That could be 15-0-15, 10-0-10. It's a 1-0-1 ratio because we do need the nitrogen to grow leaves, and we do need to have the potassium for a healthy plant. Then you have the micronutrients. So you can get a soil test. It will tell you exactly how much nitrogen you need to put down, or if you even need to do it at all. You may have plenty of nitrogen already in your soil and not need it. So a soil test is always recommended before fertilizer. And again, please never fertilize before a rain event. Let's go to Eileen in Polk City. Good morning, Eileen. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'd like you to know that we have the roosters back.
Can I say I'm happy, Eileen?
No.
That was Bob.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you hear him?
Yes, I do. It warms the cockles of my heart, Eileen.
There was one in my yard. And I went over to the Mexicans, and I said, please get him out. He did. But boy, he had a hard time.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
The hen was the hard time.
Oh, my goodness.
So I want you to know that I opened my mailbox yesterday, and there were two cards in there from somebody that lives in Sorrento, Florida.
There you go.
I opened one. It was a great card about how I make everybody laugh and I'm so
you do. Strong. You do. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and that's why we appreciate you calling in.
Well, and then there's the Snoopy card.
And we all love
there
Snoopy.
Was a gift card, and Bob was guessing where I was going to spend it at.
I'm sure it's either in violets or plants.
It's going to be at Peterson's.
Oh, there you go. Perfect, perfect. Come see me today. That would be great, Eileen. All right, honey, we got to run. All right, happy St. Patrick's Day. Let's go to Jim in Chulioda. There you go. All right. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's beautiful out here in Chulioda.
Wonderful.
I had a problem with the last two freezes, though, and they froze back my Birds of Paradise. And I'm wondering, some of them are like about 4 feet tall, and they're just totally brown.
Mm-hmm.
Are they gone? Can they come back?
Well, it just they will come back from the ground, yes. But they're not going to turn green again, so those brown fronds will have to go.
Okay, I have some other ones. I have one I'm looking at right now inside my patio, and it's about 10 feet tall.
Okay, so this is a giant bird of paradise, right?
Right, and it is like it's a clump of bird of paradise, and the ones on the outside are brown all the way, but the ones on the inside have some green in the bases, you know, but the fronds are brown. Should I cut back?
The fronds are not going to recover. That's the hard part about growing giant birds of paradise, is that they're going to come back from the ground. They are, those fronds are never going to recover. So, you know, I hate to say that, but they do need to be cut off. And even if you trim them, they're going to get brown on the tips. They're not going to look good.
What about, I mean, the ones in the middle still have green, you know, they don't have green in the fronds, but they have greens in, like, the bases of them. Should I cut those back all the way also?
Yes.
Ooh.
I know.
I have a mega giant ones that are like, ooh.
I know.
Almost 20 feet tall.
And yeah.
And they're kind of froze back, too. They're...
Well, it's just one of those things that, you know, Jim, that it's just going to look bad forever. It's never going to recover well. So you have to make the decision to leave them as they are and just cut the brown portions off. But they're never going to do well. But they will come back from the base either way. Thank you for calling, Jim. We certainly appreciate it. Jack, hang on there. You're going to be in Lakeland. So we're going to talk to you in just a minute when we come back. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's Top 5.
And my top five this morning is my top five green roses. The first one is Rosa chinensis viridiflora. And this is a Chinese rose with green sepals instead of petals. This rose attains a height of 3 to 5 feet, has a shrubby growth habit, making it suitable for border plantings or as an ornamental features. It grows in zones 5 through 10, and it's tolerant of shade. Number four, green tea. It is a green hybrid tea rose grown in South America, showcases a pale green, nearly white, double blossoms with a traditional rose form. It grows to a height of 3 to 4 feet. Number three is green romantica. This hybrid has a variety bred for distinct green hues, is noted for its subtle fragrance and gentle green coloration. Available at heirloomroses.com. Number four, lemonade, which is a chartreuse cabbage rose featuring large chartreuse green ruffled blooms and sturdy heads, ideal for centerpieces. It also grows 3 to 4 feet tall. And my number one is my St. Patrick hybrid tea rose. I have grown this lovely yellow rose. It is tinged with green, displaying striking chartreuse buds and large 5-inch flowers with more than 35 petals. Its bushy form blooms continuously, and the gray-green leaves provide a perfect contrast to the blossoms. So St. Patrick's Rose Hybrid Tea, you can get it at heirloomroses.com. And all of these roses can be gotten at specialty growers. There. That is, and they're beautiful. And so you're going to have them on the website, betterlawns.com, later today.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jack in Lakeland. Good morning, Jack. How can I help you?
Yes, I'm so happy. My little tea rose popped a rose today.
Yay! What kind is it? What variety?
I'm not sure. It's a little red-pink rose, and it's real small.
Okay.
And I've got a couple of those, but they're doing good. But the problem is my mango, my papaya, they all fell over, unfortunately. Some are 8 foot, 10 foot tall. And my mango, it totally browned out. And my avocado is starting to pop leaves. So what can I do with my poor little mango tree to bring it back to life, maybe?
Okay, well, I would want you to kind of scrape it back, see where it's still alive, if it is still alive. And I think it is. I think you may be able just to cut the brown off, and it will flush out new leaves over the next few months and summertime. You may not get any fruit this year, but it will recover.
Yeah, that cold really hurt bad, unfortunately.
It did. But you want to go ahead and fertilize it, too. So cut it back. Yeah. Cut it back to where you see the green, and even just scraping that cambium, you want to see if there's any moisture underneath the skin. Find that, because it may still be brown, but it may be just a light tan. And but if it's moist, you can see that it has moisture in it, it'll be okay and it'll recover.
Well, I put heat lamps underneath all the trees, and they helped a little bit, but my papayas totally went down.
No, we got too cold even for the heat lamps. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jack, for listening. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's go to Dick in Polk City. Good morning, Dick. How can I help you?
Good morning. We're a dedicated listener. My wife plans on being with you at Peterson's this morning.
Oh, I'm excited.
I have 2 acres.
Okay.
And bahia grass, but I have a lot of weeds. I've been advised to spray it with 2,4-D.
Mm-hmm.
With this drought, should I go ahead and spray the 2,4-D? The front half, that where I've got irrigation, I plan on sodding the sandy spots. The back half, I was going to seed. Do I need to wait till it starts raining because I don't have irrigation?
Right. Okay. So here's the thing is don't spray before this rainfall. Wait till next week. Wait till you have at least 5 days of no rain. Okay. So wait till after these rains happen this weekend, beginning of next week. And then following the label, don't put down more than's necessary. And you have bahia grass out there, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Bahia grass is good. So that's all I would do is follow the instructions. You can wait until after the weeds are dead. You can wait about 10 days, 2 weeks, look at it on the label to make sure I'm correct. And then you can put down bahia seed. Now is a good time of the year to do it. We have all the temperatures are going to be in the 80s the rest of the summer, so it's fine time to put down bahia seed. But wait until after the weed killer has done its work.
Okay, how long after the weed killer should I sod or seed?
Either way, you can do it either way. So I would sod myself, okay, because that's just going to be quicker. And when you seed, you're going to have to cover it with a kind of a topping, a mulch or hay or some straw, something to keep the ground covered, because you don't want more weeds coming in. And anytime you have bare ground, the weeds are going to come back. So I would sod myself.
Okay. So wait about 10 days after I spray before I sod?
Right, but read the label on your 2,4-D label, okay, in case they've changed it.
Okay.
All right, but it'll tell you when you can start to plant. Thank you so much, Dick.
Okay.
Thank you for listening, and I can't wait to see your wife. What's her name?
Okay.
What's Brenda. Okay, I can't wait to see Brenda. Let's go to Jean in Oviedo. Good morning, Jean. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Love your show.
Thank you.
I have one question. My question is, I have a North Fork Island pine, and I have this now for 40 years. It's about 4 stories high. My question is, some of its branches are turning brown. Does that mean it was hit by the frost, or can I revise this pine, fertilize it? What should I do?
Gene, I have been waiting 2 months to have somebody call me about a Norfolk Island pine. I have been seeing them. So Norfolk Island pines cannot take freezes at all. They don't take temperatures below 35 degrees. So you're lucky that you have a lot of it left, and that's what takes out a lot of our tall and older Norfolk Island pines, is the freezes that we get every 5, 10, 15 years. So those brown branches are not going to come back. So you might want to cut those off and just fertilize it and hope it keeps growing.
Okay, and a question about fertilizer. What type of fertilizer do I use, and how often?
I would just go ahead. So I would just use a general fertilizer, a 666, 10-10-10, 888. So just a balanced fertilizer, and follow the label. If it's slow release, it'll say, you know, use every 3 months. If it's quick release, it may be using every 6 weeks to 8 weeks. So follow the label on your fertilizer. It'll tell you how often to use it.
Okay. And do you have, by any chance, time for one more question?
Sure.
Okay. I'm thinking of resodding a part of my yard, and I've been looking at this product called Citrus Blue St. Augustine Grass that the University of Florida just came up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you suggest using that type of grass?
It is a great grass. It's great for shady areas. It grows it takes an extreme amount of shade and does well in it. It's a shorter grass. It's called Citra Blue. And yeah, I do recommend it. If that's what you would like to use, it's a great grass.
Yes.
It is good.
Okay.
It's a little bit disease resistant too. So it's got some really good traits on it. And it's a great grass. I install it all the time.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much. And I love your show. Keep it up. Thank you very much. And have a good weekend.
You too, Gene. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I have been waiting. I've been watching all the Norfolk Island pines. And, you know, when you hear Norfolk Island, what do you think of?
New England, and it can't grow here.
And it can't, but it's Virginia. You know, Norfolk, Virginia. You know that? But it's actually from New Zealand, and it can't take freezes at all. It's a tropical plant.
Oh,
and here we have all these 80-foot, 90-foot tropical, Norfolk Island pines, and they get damaged when we get freezes.
Oh,
so
I love them; they're gorgeous. I just want to go out and give them a hug.
I know they're great. So we want to have everybody come to Peterson's Nursery today. I'll be there at 11:30. Brenda's going to be there. Brenda's going to meet me, and I'm looking forward to meeting everyone. And I'll help you buy some plants for your yard and answer your gardening questions. Bring me photographs of your landscape.
Mm-hmm.
If you need any help, I'll be talking about coloring your world, adding color to your landscape.
Yes,
so I'm looking forward to that.
And you won't help them purchase. You'll help them make a selection.
I will.
Okay.
I will. You're on your own for paying for them. Tony will be so relieved to hear that.
Yes, definitely.
You know, so that'll be great. And so we want to thank all of our sponsors, Quality Green Specialist Nursery, Summit Responsible Solutions, and then also Black Cow Manure. They're so important. They're great products, and that's why we have them on the show here, and we should be adding it to it.
And a happy birthday, well, pre-birthday, because Peterson's Nursery, they're going to be celebrating their 94th birthday on St. Patrick's Day.
Isn't that amazing? Nearly 100 years old. It's just amazing. That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Lizzie. We're going to be back with more of your phone calls in the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Florida Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.